Welcome to the first week of Get in the Game. It's a new series, a great big push in our community to get people involved in serving and seeking the Lord and fulfilling the plan that he has for him. And so this first message is really just all about you getting into the place that God has for you. Get in the game. So here's the truth. I don't know if you remember PE when you were a kid. Anybody remember this, being in the gym? You always wanted to be picked first. Everybody wanted to be picked first because everybody wanted to feel like they were a part, like they were wanted, they desired. And I really believe that's from the heart of the Lord. And so today we are looking at the life of Moses and what we can learn about getting into the game that God has for us. The truth is that we, even when we're far from God, are trying to do something. This drive for significance, this drive for making a difference, this drive for purpose. It's a real thing. Sure, the enemy uses everything he can to keep us from God's purpose, or really any purpose, but specifically God's purpose. It's huge. You know, we look at Moses, the story of Moses, most of you probably know it, that though he was a Hebrew and his people were all enslaved, he was raised in Pharaoh's household because Pharaoh saw that the slaves were multiplying at a tremendous rate, and he was nervous that there would be more slaves than they could contain. They were all Hebrew slaves, so he issued an edict to murder all of the newborn boys. So if women were giving birth to boys, they were killing them. And so Moses' mother saved him. She hid him and then put him in a little wicker basket that was covered with tar so it would float, and floated it out where she knew that the princess would go to the River Nile to bathe. And sure enough, as she floated baby Moses out, the princess saw him and took him in and raised Moses as her own. He grew up, in essence, a grandson of Pharaoh. But when he was 40 years old, he knew he was a Hebrew. And something happened. He went out to see his people, possibly for the first time, maybe not though. But he went out and he saw an Egyptian taskmaster beating a Hebrew slave. And something rose up inside of him, and he took matters into his own hand and he killed that taskmaster. Because he realized that maybe that there was a connection there, that those were his people, and he was not created by God, neither were his brethren, to be beat down. He took it into his own hands. He tried to get in this game on his own, and he had to run because Egypt was still a nation of laws, and he was a murderer, and he was wanted by the police, and he was wanted by Pharaoh at that point, who probably always had suspicions because Pharaoh knew as well he wasn't Egyptian, he was Hebrew. And so Moses is forced to flee. He runs, and for 40 years, he lives in the middle of nowhere. And he went from being a prince in Egypt to being a sheep herder. And he thought that his purpose and his plan was probably done. He wanted to see deliverance for his people. He didn't want to see the oppression of the Hebrew people. They were his people. But he did what he could, and then he gave up, ran away. For 40 years, he's 80 years old. 40 years. He's just a shepherd. This is where we pick up the story in Exodus chapter 3. And it's about, I really believe, it's just such a great picture of the purpose and plan that God has for you and for me. Here it is. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement, and though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't the bush burning up? I've got to go see it." And when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, this is this bush that's on fire, but it's not burning up. Moses is intrigued. He's far from home. He's by the mountain of the Lord. This crazy bush is on fire. He gets close, and this is what it says. The Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, and God called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses, don't come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was too afraid to look at God. And then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Remember 40 years prior what he had done because of those harsh slave drivers? I am aware of their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt and into their own fertile and spacious land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, a land where all these people live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me. I've seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Moses probably freaking out. Bush on fire, it's not burning up. He gets close and he hears the voice of God. And what does the voice of God say to him? Moses, Moses, it calls his name. God calls his name and then says, Moses, I've seen everything. I've seen the oppression and the harsh taskmasters. I've heard the cries of my people Israel. And then God says this, now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. This is God calling out to Moses, saying, Moses, get in the game. If you've ever played sports, if you've ever played team sports, and maybe it wasn't you, maybe you knew somebody, you heard somebody, you'd hear somebody that so wanted to get in the game. They're like, put me in, coach. Coach, put me in. I can do it. This was Moses 40 years ago because he wanted to get into the game, but he wasn't asking God. He just jumped into the game. He had to run because he did it in his own strength. When we get into the game, in other words, when we try and live our life our way, even if it's done in for good reasons, with good motivation, it still puts us in a place where we're not fulfilling the real call of God on our life because it was our idea and not his. See, God's timing is seldom ours. Here Moses is an 80-year-old man, 40 years after he first tried to do something good, but in his own strength and in his own time. And now, 40 years later, God calls out to him. How do you think that made him feel? I mean, you would think that Moses would be like, it's about time, God. I knew I was right. Where are you at? Like, where were you for 40 years? Like, what? Why am I? Like, I'm just glad you showed up. God, thank you for joining my team. See, a lot of people do that. But Moses, through those 40 years, had learned something. Humility. It wasn't about him. His world came crashing down when he took matters into his own hand and killed that slave driver. And he had to run. And he had to live in the middle of nowhere, thinking that he was an insignificant shepherd. And yet, 40 years later, God shows up and says, Moses, what you saw, I've seen as well. What you felt, I've been feeling. Those cries that you heard, I heard them too. And now, Moses, I'm calling out to you. You trust me. Get on my team. Do it my way. What do you think Moses said? Now, here's the first point. To get in the game that God has for you, the place that God has for you, the purpose and the call on your life, here's the first thing. You have to be willing to be a player. That's number one. You have to be willing to be a player in God's time, for God's reason, in God's way. You got to be willing to be a player. And look at what Moses says. Moses, I am sending you. Verse 11. But Moses protest. Wait, but what? But Moses protested to God. Who am I? He says, no way, God. In other words, he's not willing to be on the team. 40 years in the wilderness, now you're showing up. No, I'm not doing it. And then God says, no. He says, I'll be with you. And then in verse 13, Moses again protested. And then, let's see. Again, he protests. What if they don't believe me? The fourth protest, I'm not good with my words. I can't speak well. And God says, I'll send your brother Aaron with you, who's back in Egypt. And then his last protest is like, send anybody else, God. I don't want to do it. Here's my question to you. Are you willing and ready to be at the place of purpose and obedience when God calls your name to do what he's created you to do? See, the tactic of the enemy is to get you to do what you were created to do in your own way, in your own time, for your own reason. But God has a purpose and a plan, and he has a time for you. And he will call out your name. If you were listening, what you sense, what you feel, what you see, like God wired you that way, but he's got a purpose and a plan, and you have to be willing to be a player on his team, not invite God to play on yours. And this is what so many people do, like get into the game. Yeah, it's a great series, but we don't want God to get into our game. We need to recognize that we're called to put him at the place where he's much more than a head coach, that he is Lord and King of our life. This was the quandary that Moses was facing. See, Moses had tried it his way and it didn't work. And now God, 40 years later, is saying, come on, Mo, trust me. Five times Moses says no. And yet finally, he acquiesces and he steps out in obedience and he goes. And here's the second point. If you want to get in the game that God has for you, the place and the purpose, and the people that he has for you, the second thing, you got to be willing to walk out the plan that he has for you. You have to walk out the plan that he has for you, because God has a purpose and a plan for your life. You have to walk out his plan. Well, what's that look like? Well, it's usually not what we think. What's walking out the plan is two things. It's growing. It's growing. That you have to trust the word of the Lord. You have to trust the word of the Lord. In Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus has just been in a season of prayer and fasting for 40 days. And the enemy comes to tempt him. And the enemy comes, Satan himself shows up and says, hey, I know you're hungry because you haven't eaten for 40 days. Why don't you turn those rocks right there into bread? You can do it. You got the power. You're the Son of God. You can do it. Turn the rocks into bread. And Jesus quotes an interesting scripture out of Deuteronomy chapter 8. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In fact, Deuteronomy 8:3, God's speaking to his people who had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. You see the correlation there? Jesus was 40 days in the wilderness. The people had been 40 years in the wilderness, and they had only eaten manna. And so this was God's word to them in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. He says, yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. Here's the key. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. What are you living by? Are you walking out the plan for your life? Because, well, I took this job because it was more money. I went and married this person because it seemed safe and secure. I moved to this city because it just seemed like a logical plan. Listen to me. None of those are bad. I want you to hear me. That's not bad. My question to you, is it the best of what God has for you? Is that how you live your life? Do you decide your way? Are you living because you're just living for sustenance? Like, I want stable relationships. I want a safe and clean city. I want a job that's going to provide for me. Those are all good things. They're very good things. I'm not knocking that. But what I'm asking you is, are you living by your way? Are you living by God's word? You have to be willing to be on his team. Lord, you are not just, you are Lord of my life. And what you say, I will do at every turn. You have to be willing to grow by hearing the word of the Lord and walking it out in obedience. That's the second thing. First one, be willing to be a player. The second thing, walk out the plan of God. That requires you to grow in faith. This is a faith issue. I'm going to hear your word and I'm going to walk it out. It requires you to go. That walking out the plan is the going. And I'm not so sure that Moses was ready for that. It was really difficult, but man, he made it through. You know the end of the story, probably, because you've seen the Prince of Egypt. You know that Moses was used by God to deliver an entire nation, over 1 million people, actually probably more like 3 million people to 4 million people from slavery. God used him. But he had to be on God's team and do it God's way. And he had to be willing to walk out the plan and trust God even when it didn't make sense. Exodus chapter 5, he goes, just like God said, go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. This is Pharaoh's response. Who is the Lord? Why should I listen to him and let Israel go? I don't know the Lord. I'm not going to let Israel go. I love this next verse. Aaron and Moses, they persisted. But the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness so we can offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. They're like freaking out. I read this and go, they're like, wait, no, but God told us to come here and tell you that you're supposed to let his people go. They thought it was going to be easy. And instead, Pharaoh says, oh, really? You're asking everybody to go take a break now. You want to go and seek the Lord because the God of the, I don't know who the God of the Hebrews is. So this is what I'm going to do. You know, you were making bricks for me to make our cities, make those wonderful pyramids. We were bringing you straw, and y'all were making the bricks. Now, you got to go get your own straw. He made their labor much, 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 much more intense. How do you think the Israelites felt when they realized that Moses and Aaron, who had already told them, Moses is like, God brought me here to deliver you from slavery. I'm going to tell Pharaoh because that's what he told me to do. He goes and tells Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, I don't know who you're talking about. Oh, you think you can get everybody a break? I'm going to double up their work. They hated Moses. His own people began to turn on them. And in fact, in chapter 6, when he approaches them after this confrontation with Pharaoh that went so poorly, this is what he says. And it's so good. God speaks to him, to the people that are now, their work has doubled and they hate Moses. And God speaks to them this unbelievable promise that is still valid today. Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 says, therefore, say to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. I will free you from your oppression. I will rescue you from your slavery in Egypt, and I will redeem you with a powerful arm and great acts of judgment. I will claim you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you'll know that I'm the Lord, your God, who's freed you from your oppression in Egypt. This is an unbelievable promise. So even though everybody's mad and upset with him, God speaks to Moses and says, tell them this. I'm going to free you. I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to make you my people. And you're going to know that I'm the Lord who delivers you from slavery. What an unbelievable and amazing promise. Verse 9. So Moses told the people of Israel what the Lord had said, but they refused to listen anymore. They had become too discouraged by the brutality of their slavery. So Moses goes to Pharaoh. Remember, listen, you want to get in the game that God has for you, you got to be willing to be a player and do it God's way, not yours. You have to be willing to walk out the plan. I feel like I'm almost like not pitching a sales thing. I'm like selling you like, don't do it. It's so hard. It kind of is, but it's also worth it if you trust God through all of it, because God tells Moses, go talk to Pharaoh. It tanks, man. It totally tanks. Pharaoh says, who's God? I don't know who you're talking about. You want the slaves to stop working? Yeah, I'm going to double their work. And they're like, wait, no, but God told us. Yeah, I don't know him. Yeah, double work for all your guys, all right? Then his own people turn on him. No, but God gave me this word to speak. Here's the work. He's going to free you. He's going to rescue you. He's going to deliver you. He's going to redeem you. He's going to make you his own people. And they're like, yeah, whatever, bro. Our life is misery because of what you did. Moses was super dejected, because it was difficult and harder than they thought. And then the plagues start. 10 plagues. Blood, frogs, gnats, flies, all the livestock die. So the river turns to blood. There's frogs everywhere. How stinky was that? Gnats show up from everywhere. Biting flies show up. These are miserable, miserable, miserable plagues the nation of Egypt is experiencing. All of their livestock dies, and then everybody gets covered with boils. Some translations say it's more like hemorrhoids. I don't know which one. Either one sounds bad to me. Then hail wipes out all of their crops. Remember, all of their flocks. Now, this is all in Egypt. This isn't all of this doesn't happen to the Hebrews. So they're beginning to get their eyes open that God's for them, because their livestock don't die. Their crops aren't killed by hail. Then locusts come and eat everything, but not the Hebrews. And then darkness covers the land. And then all the way to chapter 12. This is, by the way, a years, more than one long process. And in chapter 12, it's the final plague. And it's the plague that causes Pharaoh to realize that he has no other option than to let God's people go. It's the firstborn. God speaks to Moses and says, tell Pharaoh, the first of all the land, everyone, including the Hebrews, the firstborn of all animals, firstborn male of all animals, and the firstborn male in all, every household is going to die. It's going to happen. The death angel is going to pass at night. And then he gives a sidebar to Moses. He says, you tell the Israelites, you tell the Hebrews, the death angel will pass over their house if they take a perfect lamb, a spotless lamb with no blemish, they kill it, and they put its blood over the entryway to their home. Everybody's got to be in the home. The lamb has to have been sacrificed and eaten, and the blood has to be over the doorway, on the lintels, the sides, the doorposts of their home. Then the death angel will pass over. And what ends up happening is the death angel comes, and every family in Egypt has lost their firstborn son and their firstborn male animal. Everything. The cats die. Firstborn of the cat. All of it. And here's what we see. It says, on that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood on your doorposts will serve as a sign marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And this plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. So here's the, like, how do we get into the place that God has? How do we get in that game? Got to be willing to be a player. His team, his word, his way. We've got to walk it out even when it's hard and trust God, even when people are coming against us and circumstances are difficult and hard and things seem to be turning to blood and frogs showing up. You have to trust the word of the Lord. And here's the third thing. You got to wait for the whistle, because at some point you're going to hear from the Lord and it's going to change everything. Just like when that coach would blow that whistle and every head would turn to him. Like, there's a point where God speaks and there's a turning point. It's so interesting that in Exodus chapter 12, the blood of the lamb over the door of their home meant that death, destruction passed them by, and they were free to walk into the place that God had for them. The same is true for us today, because the blood of the spotless lamb, Jesus, the Son of God, God in human form, shed his blood. And it's through his blood that if it covers the door to our heart, death and destruction pass over us, and we can walk in freedom to the place he has for us. Maybe this message is for you, that you've been like hesitating. Lord, I want to follow you. I don't know what that means. It means that you are saying, I am on God's team. He is not a coach. He is my God. I will do things his way. His word is truth. I am going to walk out the plan that he has for me, even if it's hard. And I know that there's a point, there's that turning point. I can look back and see where I put the blood of that lamb, Jesus, over my heart so that I could walk in freedom into the place that God had for you, has for me. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've been hesitating and saying, been on the fence. I know I need to do what God has for me. Where does it begin? When you make the commitment. You say, Lord, I believe that Jesus died on that cross for me. Listen, Passover happened 3,500 years ago. But maybe you need that freedom that comes through the blood of Jesus. This is how you get in the game. I'm a player. Lord, I'm yours. Father, maybe you've already done that, but you need to reaffirm with him. I've kind of been sitting the bench, Lord. You need to get back engaged. Maybe you've not been walking out that plan. You need to walk it out. Or maybe you're at that place where you need to turn and surrender to him. I just want to pray for you. If this is you, just pray with me. Say, dear Jesus, I turn everything over to you. It's your word that I live by. It's your way. I'm going to walk out your plan, even in difficulty, because I know that through you and the blood shed on that cross, Jesus, there's freedom and life. I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if that was you, and you prayed that prayer, let us know. I want to connect you with relationship resources to help you grow and to step into the place where you can walk in the fullness of what God's called you to, because it's bigger than just you. Just like God used Moses to deliver people, God has a purpose and a plan for you to be a blessing and to bring life to the world around you. Trust Him. Good seeing you. Can't wait till next week. God bless.